Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And we're happy that you're with us here this evening. This is Sunday, April 20th, 2025, and it's really good to be in the studio and to be able to share God's Word with people. And it's springtime here in Virginia, and the pollen is getting to me still, and it's a lot of pollen in the air this time of year. But it's a beautiful time of year here in the Shenandoah.
Especially with the rain we've got.
Yeah, we've received some rain that we really needed. Everything is green. I haven't mowed my grass yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, you know, I like it to be nice and plush. So I usually, the first mow, I let it get taller than normal, and then I mow it. And I always mow it at the really high setting because it's a nice, thick, plush lawn. I'm just a fanatic about that. I'm probably a fanatic about everything, right, Ed?
Yeah.
But first of all, we want to thank Ray Powers for giving us the opportunity to be here each and every week. Not many would allow us to be able to share the things that we share on the air. Isn't
because
that
true? It's really not about what we think. It's just, what does the Bible say?
Sure. And he gives us this platform to be able to talk about controversial things and things that a lot of people read in the Bible. They might not believe them. They might not want to. Their church might not teach that. But, you know, we're not coming at this from any denominational point of view because we don't belong to a denomination, do we, Ed?
Mm-hmm.
We're just part of a non-denominational fellowship. And tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. We're located in Stanton, Virginia, 1743 West Beverly Street. And we have some services on Wednesday evening, prayer time / Bible study time. That starts at 7 p.m. and is available via Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
We also have our church service on the seventh day of the week, Saturday, or the Sabbath, where we have a Bible study at 9:30, which is available via Zoom or live stream. And we have our church service live streamed at 11 on that day.
Yes, and that and where you can find that is the website is prophecyhope.com. We couldn't get Prophecies of Hope for some reason.
It was already taken or something. Yeah.
But it's prophecyhope.com. And on that website, you will find these radio programs archived. And also, you will find a lot of sermons there. And, you know, we need to post, we have some little outlines from sermons that we've given here and there, like things about what happens when we die and about the Sabbath day, which you mentioned is the seventh day. And I haven't posted those on there yet, but I've been thinking about posting some of those because they're kind of, you know, we call them study guides, but all they are is just Bible question and Bible answer. It's not commentary.
Right.
It's just, you know, well, which day is the seventh day of the week? And we look at the Bible verses that show us which day is the seventh day of the week. And go ahead. You were going to say something.
Well, I was just going to ask, are you going to do PDFs? Is that what you're going to do?
I think it'll have to be a PDF. Okay. I don't know enough about this stuff yet. Yeah. You know, I've been doing it for years.
That way people can download them.
Yeah, you'll be able to use it. And if you like those, and if you ever wanted a hard copy, we do print them here. And we're happy to mail those. And we also, Ed, We just ordered a whole shipment of something that we love
Bibles,
to give out.
Large print
Bibles, And so if you'd like to have a copy of a Bible, please send us an email. And how do they email you, Ed?
You can contact me, Ed, at prophecyhope.com.
You can email me, Mark, at prophecyhope.com, or you can send a general email to office at prophecyhope.com. And if you have whether it's a Bible question, which we certainly don't have all the answers, but we'll try to find it in the Bible if we do. And if you simply have a topic that you'd like us to cover, whatever it is, send us an email. Just send us an email to say hello.
Yeah.
Let us know if you like this program or not, or if there's topics that there's something that you think we could incorporate into the program. You know, we're open to suggestions. Is there any other business, Ed, to take care of?
I don't think so.
We'll pick up where we left off last week, right after you open with a word of prayer.
All right, let's go ahead and bow our heads, please. Father in heaven, again, we're thankful for this time. We can come together to open your word, the Bible, so we can read what it says and discover what it says and how it relates to our lives today. Father, as we study this important topic of Jesus coming again, help us to keep these things in mind as we live our lives, that we can be prepared for his coming. Mm. We ask for wisdom and knowledge to understand these things and to apply them to our lives and to guide us by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Ed, you mentioned in your prayer Jesus coming again.
Yes.
I believe Jesus is coming again.
Yes.
And whether it's in our lifetime or not, we have no way of truly knowing. We can just go by what we read in the Bible, right? And this is some of the things we've been talking about. Did you want to give us a little, bring us up to speed from where we were last week?
Sure. Last week, we've been studying Matthew chapter 24. And let me just read a little bit from last week's study, the end of last week's study.
Okay.
In verse 23 through 28. It says, "Then if any man shall say to you, 'Lo, here is Christ,' or 'there,' do not believe it. For false Christ and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders, so much so that if it were possible, they would deceive even the elect. Behold, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say unto you, 'Behold, he is in the desert,' do not go. Behold, he's in the secret rooms, do not believe it. For as lightning comes out of the east and shines even unto the west, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. Mm. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered." So it says, don't be deceived. And, you know, a lot of the beginning of Matthew 24 is a warning. Don't be deceived.
Sure. Jesus says this a couple of times in here.
The way not to be deceived is to know what the Bible says.
Amen.
And so here it says, if any man says, "I'm Christ," don't believe him. There's going to be false Christs, false prophets. If they say, "Behold, Jesus is in the desert," don't go out there. Don't believe them. If it says, "Behold, he's in secret rooms," do not believe it. Because for as lightning comes out of the east and shines onto the west, that's what the coming of Jesus is going to be like. Everyone's going to know it.
Yes.
You know, there's this last verse here, verse 28. It says, "For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered."
Mm.
So, you know, we've been talking about don't be deceived.
Right.
There's a great deception out there today in the Christian church.
There is.
And we need to talk about it. So let's go to Luke 17.
Okay.
And Mark, if you could read verses 20 through 37
sure.
for us.
Luke chapter 17, and I'm reading from the New King James Bible, beginning in verse 20. "Now when he," that's when Jesus, "was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, 'The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you.' Then he said to the disciples, 'The days will come when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, look here or look there. Do not go after them or follow them. For as the lightning flashes out of one part under the heavens and shines to the other part under heaven, so also the Son of Man will be in his day.'" So this is recounting what was recorded in Matthew. This is the same thing, right?
Yes.
Just as recorded by Luke. Verse 25, "But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by his generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so it will be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down and take them away. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it." Keep going.
Yes.
I tell you, in that night there will be two men in one bed. One will be taken, and the other will be left. Two women will be grinding together. The one will be taken, and the other left. Two men will be in the field. The one will be taken, and the other left. And they answered and said to him, Where, Lord? And he said to them, Wherever the body is, there the eagles will be gathered together.
So that's the same phrase as Matthew 24:28. Wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered. So here we have this description of the state of the world before Jesus comes again. And it talks about Noah's time, that they continue to eat and drink and marry and give in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all. But if you go back to Genesis, it says that their thoughts were continually evil. Mm. And that's why God decided to destroy those that lived on the earth. And Noah was a preacher of righteousness.
Yes.
A preacher of the right way of living. And no one believed him. Only his family was saved. It talks about at the end of time, when before Christ again comes again, it's going to be like the days of Lot. They ate, they drank, they sold, they built, they planted. But the day Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. So it compares the day Jesus returns to that day.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, when that day comes, you know, don't worry about your things, your stuff.
Right.
You know, don't go back to take them or to try to gather them or to save them. He says, remember Lot's wife. What happened to Lot's wife?
Well, they were told when they were leaving Sodom and Gomorrah not to look back.
Yeah.
And she looked back. And when she did, she turned into a pillar of salt. That's what the Bible account tells us. And, you know, it's just obeying God.
Right.
If we just listen to what he says, life is so much better. And that's the whole thing. That's really what life is all about. If we obey God, we can have eternal life.
I want to concentrate on the last four verses.
Sure.
Verse 34. I tell you, in that night there shall be two in one bed, and one shall be taken, and the other shall be left.
Mm-hmm.
Two shall be grinding together, one will be taken, and the other left. Two shall be in the field, one will be taken, and the other left. And they, the disciples, answered and said to him, Jesus, Where, Lord? And he said to them, Wherever the body is, there the eagle will be gathered together. So we have one person taken from the bed, the other one left. One taken from grinding, the other one left. One taken from the field, and the other one left. And they ask the question, Where, Lord? Who are they talking about? Where?
Well, if one's left, we know where they're left.
Yeah.
It doesn't tell us where they're taken.
Right.
So they're asking, where are they taken? Right?
They're taken to destruction.
That's what the text says in the final verse, doesn't it?
Read the words on the page. Because there's this great deception out there that Christ is going to come secretly and that the righteous will be taken because of these very verses here. That's not what these verses say.
It is not what they say at all. In fact, the verses leading up to that, where it talks about Noah's day, he compares his coming. This is very important. He compares his coming to the days of Noah. Can we go back to that and just look at that account? Genesis chapter 7. So we have this account. I know that most of us who are familiar with our Bibles are familiar that Noah was commissioned by God to build this ark to save his people,
right,
to preserve life because a flood was coming upon the earth because things were so wicked. Noah builds the ark. He puts the animals on the ark. And
he did?
Well, it says God brought them to the ark. Yeah, that's right. And so God led the animals to the ark. And then here's what it says, and I'm just going to start in verse 17. This is Genesis chapter 7. It says, "Now the flood was on the earth 40 days. The waters increased and lifted up the ark and rose high above the earth. The waters prevailed and greatly increased on the earth, and the ark moved about on the surface of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly on the earth, and all the high hills under the whole heaven were covered. The waters prevailed 15 cubits upward, and the mountains were covered." So 15 cubits, that's a cubit is about 18 inches. So we're looking at about nearly 30 feet, almost about 27 feet or so over the highest peak on the earth. And verse 21, it says, "And all flesh died that moved on the earth, birds and cattle and beasts of every and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of the spirit of life, all that was on the dry land died." So he destroyed all living things which were on the face of the ground, both man and cattle, creeping thing and bird of the air. They were destroyed from the earth. Only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive.
They remained.
That's right. Now, in my Bible, that word alive is italicized, which means that they added it so that we'd have more understanding,
right,
the people who published the Bible. It doesn't mean the Bible writers put that there. It's an added word. But if we take that word alive off, it says only Noah and those on the ark remained. So that means that they were left.
Yes.
They remained.
Right.
So when we read the account here in Luke, where we read, it says in verse 27, Luke 17:27, it says, "They ate, they drank, they married, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came," and in the King James, I think it says, "took them all away." It says that the flood, they were taken by the flood, right? So this is backward. This is the opposite of what many Christians have been taught.
Yes.
They teach that those who are taken are going to heaven.
And they say it's done secretly. The Bible warns us against this false idea that Christ is going to come secretly in secret rooms.
Yes, and he says it a couple of times. Don't be deceived.
Right.
Yeah, and then he not only does he say that I don't come as a secret. If they say that, don't believe it. But he talks about lightning flashing in the sky.
Right.
So he says, as lightning comes from the east and goes to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. When lightning flashes, even if my eyes are closed, I can see through my eyelids that flash of light.
Right.
I've been in bed at night, and the blinds are closed, and you can see the flash of light.
Right.
So it will be obvious when Christ comes.
You know, I just want to go back to Genesis 6, read verses 5 through 8.
Sure.
Because this tells us why Jehovah destroyed the whole world by flood.
Yes.
And it's going to be the same reason that God's going to destroy sin and sinners when Christ comes again.
Sure.
So verse 5 says, "And Jehovah saw the wickedness of men, and it was great in the earth. And every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually.
Mm.
And Jehovah repented that he had made man on the earth, and he was angry to his heart. And Jehovah said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for I repent that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of Jehovah." Noah was the exception.
If you read this account, you'll find that the ark had a door, an opening, and that's how the animals came in. That's how Noah and his family came in. And God was the one who closed and sealed the door.
Yeah.
The Bible tells us that. You know, it's amazing to me that as long as they were in, as long as they went through the door and they were in that ark, they were safe. And we know that Jesus is called the door.
Yeah.
If I am in that door, I'm safe.
Mm-hmm.
You see, if I'm in Christ Jesus, I should have no fear. And of course, maybe Noah and his family, the Bible doesn't tell us, they might have been a little nervous. This was a first time thing. And some people might be concerned, well, what am I going to do? You know, what if Jesus comes today? Well, that's the importance of being ready today.
Right.
And this is what we're talking about. This is the whole reason that we started this study.
You know, we've been talking about the literal coming of Jesus.
Yes.
But the day you take your last breath is your last chance to make a decision for or against
Amen.
Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
That's why it's so important to don't procrastinate. Don't put it off. You know, take time. And it might be something that you say, well, I don't know. I don't know if it's something that, you know, I don't know Jesus. Well, Jesus knows you. And if you get on your knees and you pray and you ask for God to send the Spirit of His Son into your heart,
yes,
and you're sincere, God's going to do that. He's going to help you. He wants to save souls.
He wants to change your life.
He does. That's why He had this ark built. He wanted to save these people. And really, why did He want to save them? Because Noah's life was different than those other people. His life was changed.
You need to understand that there's no second chance.
Right. This is our second chance.
Right. And that's another falsehood of this doctrine that's been preached.
It's dangerous to believe that. I believed it all of my life. And, you know, it really can cause people to become more relaxed and more lax and not pay attention to themselves. Mm-hmm. We need to understand that sin cannot dwell in the presence of God. We just can't. We have to give it up.
Yeah, the Bible talks about now is the day of salvation.
Yes,
now we need to make a choice.
Absolutely. So this is, you know, this is such an interesting topic, and I know for many people, particularly in this area where we live, you know, we're in what most would call, we're kind of on the fringes of the Bible Belt,
right.
Because we're about, 2 hours from Washington, D.C.?
Mm-hmm.
We're south of there. And once you hit that area, it's done. I mean, it seems like everything just goes haywire from D.C. and up.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're in the Bible Belt. So a lot of people in this southeastern part of the United States have adopted this false doctrine of a secret coming of Jesus,
right.
And of the opposite thinking of who is taken and who is left.
Right. Again, all you have to do is read the words on the page and see in verse 37, they answered and said to him, where, Lord?
Mm.
They're not asking where the one in the field is or the one where the one grinding is or the one in bed is. They already know where they're at.
Yeah, that's
they're asking where they're taken.
And you know, it's just that easy. It's just thinking about the words that are here on the page.
Right.
Where what? We don't ask those questions. We just, and you know why, Ed? Because we're so programmed to listen to what our pastor says.
Yeah.
You know, the preacher said it. Well, that sounds right to me. He's been trained to teach us this stuff.
Well, you know, many of us have heard the deception, the false things, the false doctrine in churches since we were little kids.
Sure.
So we believe it's got to be true.
I believed so many false doctrines growing up.
But if you would just take the time and open the Bible and just read the words on the page, just read it to find out what it actually says versus what men say it says.
Amen.
Then you would find out what it really says.
Yeah, it's so true. And this is why we encourage you each week. We want to encourage you to open your Bible or the app on your phone or read the words with us. Because sometimes, Ed, when I'm speaking or giving a sermon, I'll read a word wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say something the opposite of what it says. And people that they'll kind of get a weird look on their face sometimes, you know. And then they'll look and they'll say, that's not what it says, or they'll give me the word that it says. And that's good because they have to think about the words on the page.
Right.
And a lot of times we're taught to think something different, or even in my mind, you know, lately especially, when I'm having a Bible study with someone, instead of citing a verse or trying to quote it, I'll say, let's just look at it. Because I might inadvertently right. add or take away a word that's really important. And if you just read it from God's word, I shouldn't make that mistake if I just read it off the page. So no. It's really important that we do that.
So let's go back to Matthew 24.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to read verses 29 through 31. This is the modern King James Version. And it says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from the heaven, and the power of the heavens shall be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man shall appear in the heavens, and then all the tribes of the earth shall mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other.
Mm.
So this verse 29, talking about immediately after the tribulation of those days. You know, we read about tribulation in verse 21 and 22.
Yes,
can you read that for us?
Yeah, it says, this is Matthew 24, verse 21. It says, for then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened.
So it says in verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days,
mm-hmm.
that these signs will happen. Let's go to a couple of other texts in the Bible that talk about this. Let's go to Luke 21.
Okay.
And Mark, if you could read verses 25 through 28.
Sure.
Luke 21.
Starting with verse 25. It says, and this is Jesus' words. He says, and there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near.
Redemption draws nigh for those that are waiting for the coming of Jesus
sure.
Christ, that have prepared their lives to be ready.
Yes.
So I'm going to read from Joel chapter 2. Joel is one of the minor prophets mm-hmm. that comes, it's a small book after the book of Daniel. There's a bunch of what we call minor prophets.
What chapter?
And Joel is one of them. Joel chapter 2, I'm going to start in verse 28.
Okay.
And it shall be afterwards, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. On your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And I will pour out my spirit on the slaves and on the slave woman in those days. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of Jehovah. And it shall be, whoever shall call on the name of Jehovah shall be saved, for salvation shall be in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, as Jehovah has said, and the remnant whom Jehovah shall call.
Hmm.
Of course, we know that salvation is Jesus Christ.
Right. Which the name Jesus means Jehovah is salvation.
Yes.
That's what it literally means. And he saves us through the blood of his Son.
Right. So here again, it talks about the sun being turned into darkness and the moon into blood. So let's go to Revelation chapter 6.
Okay. So yeah, so we saw that in Luke, and now we're seeing it in Joel.
And we saw it in Matthew.
Right.
Let's look at it in Revelation 6. If you could read 12 to 17...
Revelation chapter 6.
Beginning
in verse 12. I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. And the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand?"
So here in Revelation, it talks about a great earthquake, and the sun becoming black as a sackcloth of hair, and the moon become like blood, and the stars of heaven falling to the earth. So let's go back to Matthew 24, and I want to read verse 29 again.
Okay.
It says, "And immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from the heaven, and the power of the heavens shall be shaken." Mm. It says, immediately after the tribulation of those days. We know that there was 1,260 years of tribulation for the people of God.
Persecution, right?
Yes. They were persecuted by that papal power.
Right.
In the Dark Ages. And that ended, it started in 538 A.D. and ended in 1798 A.D. And Matthew tells us that unless those days of tribulation would be shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days were shortened. If we go to Revelation 12, it talks about Satan sending a flood after the woman, the flood of false doctrines.
Right.
This combination of paganism and Christianity, which ended up being incorporated into the papal doctrines. So the earth opened up to take away this flood that went after the church, those people that were true to God. And that represents the Reformation. The Word of God was given to the people. They saw for themselves what the Bible said and learned what truth was.
Right.
And so the Pope was taken captive in 1798, but this tribulation pretty much stopped a number of years before that because of the Reformation.
Yes.
So my question, it says in verse 29, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall." Has this happened?
Wasn't there a time in history when something like this took place?
Yes. Let's look at that.
Okay.
Let's look at Revelation 6, and it says there's a great earthquake. Was there a great earthquake?
Yes, there was.
In 1755, there's an earthquake typically known as the earthquake of Lisbon.
Right.
It really involved much of the world, the most of Europe, Africa, and America.
Can you imagine an earthquake of that proportion?
It was felt in Greenland, in the West Indies, in Norway, in Sweden, Great Britain, and Ireland. It was covered about 4 million square miles. Mm. In Africa, the shock was almost as severe as in Europe. A great part of Algiers was destroyed. In Morocco, a village containing 8,000 or 10,000 inhabitants was swallowed up.
Wow.
There was a vast wave, a tidal wave,
yeah,
a tsunami off the coast of Spain and Africa, engulfing cities and causing great destruction. It was said that in Spain and Portugal, the shock was extremely violent. At Cadiz, the inflowing wave was said to be 60 feet high.
Mm.
It says that some of the mountains in Portugal were shaken, and they were rent from their foundation. Some of them split open at their summits. It was related that flames were issued from these mountains. This is from Sir Charles Lyell, The Principles of Geology, page 495, in the 1858 edition. Mm. These are some of the records of what happened with this great earthquake. There's not been such a great earthquake since the world existed.
That's true. I mean, in recorded history, we have nothing except for this because, I mean, just recently there was an earthquake in Southern California.
Yes.
It was just it was like a 5.3, I think. And it was felt for maybe a couple of hundred miles. And we've had earthquakes, little tremors here in Virginia years ago. We had one, and I felt it a little bit. But to think that if we had that here in Virginia, 3,000 miles away, that it could be felt in California. And you're talking about how many miles?
Four million square miles.
I mean, this is tremendous. I don't know that anyone has heard of anything of this magnitude ever.
Do you know what day this was?
What day was it?
November the 1st, which is All Saints Day.
Ah, that's right.
It's where the papal power venerates the dead saints or worships the dead saints.
Right after Halloween, All Hallows Eve.
Yes.
Isn't that interesting?
And, you know, unfortunately, many of the people were in religious services in the churches that day.
Mm.
And many of those churches collapsed on these people and killed them. I think I have a number of 90,000 people were killed in just a few moments of time.
Hmm.
That it was unfortunate. It says hours after the shock, about 2 hours after the shock, fires broke out in different quarters and raged with such violence for the space of 3 days that the city was completely desolated, talking about Lisbon.
Hmm.
It talks about the churches and the convents were full of people, very few of whom escaped. It says, this was from the Encyclopedia Americana, the 1831 edition. The terror of the people was beyond description. Nobody wept. It was beyond tears.
Mm.
Mothers forgot their children and ran about loaded with crucifix images.
Wow.
Unfortunately, they ran to the churches for protection, but of course, the churches were destroyed.
Yeah.
It says 90,000 people lost their lives on that fatal day. It's just
in that area,
yeah.
Right in that region.
This is the fulfillment of that, the prophecy we hear. That after the tribulation of those days, and it doesn't mean it's not going to happen again.
Right.
So then we find
there will be another tribulation.
Yes.
But it says here that there will not be another one like that one.
Right. You know, it goes to show us the time that we're living in. Because after these signs appear, it says, and then the Son of the Son of Man shall appear in the heavens. So on May 19, 1780, we have the dark day,
okay.
Where the sun ceased to give her light. It was so dark that people couldn't even see their hand in front of their face. They could put a white sheet of paper in front of their face and they couldn't see it.
Hmm.
It talks about towards 9 o'clock, the clouds became thinner and assumed a brassy or coppery appearance. The earth, rocks, trees, buildings, water, and persons were changed by this strange, unearthly light. Then a heavy black cloud spread over the entire sky. And it talks about the cows came into the barn. You know, the roosters went to roost.
Wow.
The chickens went to roost. And they used candles, you know, they used fires to try to give them light. The frogs started peeping, the birds sang their evening songs, and bats flew about.
Wow.
And it was like nighttime. This is from the Essex Antiquarium, Salem, Massachusetts, April 1899.
Wow.
These are recorded reports. It was in much of the northeast of the United States.
There's a reason I believe that that's where it was, is because those who came from Europe, right, to the reformers, where did they come to?
Right.
They came to the eastern United States.
It took a while for the west of the United States to be populated.
Developed, right.
Yes.
So it's where the population of people were, because this is, that of course it would be recorded there where the people are.
Right. Here's what one eyewitness said. I could not help conceiving at the time that if every luminous body in the universe had been shrouded in impenetrable shades or struck out of existence, the darkness could not have been more complete, as what they experienced that day. And this was from a letter by a Dr. Samuel Tenney of Exeter, New Hampshire, December 1785.
You know, that had to be a time where it makes me wonder, what were people thinking? Did it get their attention? Did it get their
right.
attention?
Yes, it did. Many people went to churches. They realized, they questioned, is this the end of the world?
Mm.
And at midnight, when the darkness disappeared, the moon appeared, almost a full moon, and had the appearance of blood.
It was isn't that something? That's what we read.
That's
here.
In the prophecy.
Yeah, we read that.
And this May 19, 1780 is known as the Dark Day. And again, there are eyewitnesses that are witness to what happened.
So these are things that people can look up for themselves. They can find this information.
Yes.
Because this is a matter of history.
Right. You know, it talks about the stars falling from heaven as figs shaken from a tree.
Right, we just read that, yep.
Yeah.
In the prophecy.
And so this also happened. I'm trying to look at November 13, 1833.
Okay.
It's the falling of the stars. Here's some statements. Never did rain fall much thicker than the meteors fell towards the earth, east, west, north, and south. It was the same. In a word, the whole heaven seemed in motion. The display is described in Professor Silliman's journal was seen all over North America from 2 o'clock in the morning until broad daylight. It says, no language indeed can come up with the splendor of that magnificent display. So these things have already happened.
Yes.
That Matthew 24:29 talks about. And so it says in verse 30, and then the Son of Man shall appear in the heavens. People don't know where we are in the time of this history of this earth. They don't understand.
Hmm. We're deep in the time of the end.
Yes.
We're very close to the coming of Christ. Again, we're not saying that it will happen in our lifetime. I tend to believe that it will. I hope it will. But if it doesn't, that's quite all right. You know, these things, Ed, when I ask you about these people, did it get their attention? And you said
yes.
It did.
Oh, yes.
I believe that God gives warnings to people to prepare them for certain things. This is why he did this.
In fact, it got their attention so much, they declared that Christ was coming again. And they, unfortunately, were mistaken in their study of Bible prophecy and declared a day that he would come. And, of course, Christ didn't come. They misinterpreted prophecy. But these events that happened in the heavens supported their belief that Jesus was coming again soon.
Yes. And so this shows there's a couple of things here that are very important. Number one, the danger of trying to predict when Jesus is going to come.
Right.
Jesus says, no man knows the day or the hour.
But that doesn't exclude Jesus' warning that when
right.
you see these things happening, know the time is about to
occur. It's near. And be ready.
Yes.
Be ready. And again, the reason we need to be ready is we don't know what any given day holds for us. And you mentioned it earlier today. You don't get another chance.
Yeah, we don't know when we're going to take our last breath.
We don't. And the other thing we we need to make sure that we warn people, that we tell them, we share this message. That's why we're doing this right now.
Right.
Because there's going to come a time when enough is enough, just like in Noah's day. The flood came and took them all away, right?
Right.
And all of the unrighteous people were taken to destruction. And the time is coming in our future when this is going to happen. And God is trying to prepare our hearts. He's making it to where you will make a choice, a clear choice.
This choice involves keeping the commandments of God.
Yes, sir, it does.
Through the power of a living Christ, that God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father, that we walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh.
Right.
Do you desire to do that? Do you see the beauty in God's commandments? Do you understand that the world would be a totally different place if we simply kept them?
Hmm. And if you don't believe that, and if you feel like, you know, I wish I could believe, there's a scripture in the Bible that says, help me in my unbelief.
Yes.
Right? Can't we pray that prayer?
Sure. Sure.
Help me in my unbelief. And
this gentleman wanted Jesus to heal his child, and Jesus said, if you can believe, it will happen. And he says, Lord, I believe. Help me in my unbelief.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is, you know, this is tremendous. I'm really glad you shared this history, because, again, there's a lesson learned here in those people. They made the assumption, this must be it. This mm-hmm. must be the end. Well, Jesus has got to come, and they looked at Bible prophecy, and they had picked a date.
Right. Now, you need to understand, it wasn't only people in the United States that may had this misunderstanding.
Right.
But this message went throughout the whole world. There were others in other countries that had the same understanding, maybe not the date exactly the same, but really close. And they preached that Jesus was coming again.
Yeah. Well, we know he's coming again.
Yes.
But no man knows the day or the hour.
Right.
And not the angels, not even the Son, it says,
yeah,
but only
Father.
The Father.
Yeah.
So you keep that in mind. I can't stress that enough. But
don't wait. Don't put it off.
That's what I was just getting ready to say. Don't say, well, since we don't know, well, you know, that's why Jesus used the illustration of a thief.
Mm-hmm.
And, or I think it might have been Peter that used that illustration also, as a thief in the night. You know?
Yeah, the Lord's coming is going to be like a thief in the night.
That's it.
You're going to be unaware.
Yeah.
If you're not ready, if you're not watching.
But if you're ready, there's nothing to be concerned
right.
about. And that's why we're talking about this.
Right.
We want people to be ready. And, you know, I see things in the world ramping up. And
yes.
things, you know, we see tribulations starting to happen. We see some of these composite signs beginning to happen.
Right.
And it looks like people are making a decision one way or another.
There's definitely a huge polarization.
That's a great way to put it. Yeah.
And don't be misled. You know, it's only Jesus that is the way, the truth, and life.
Yes.
Don't count on men. Don't count on political leaders, whoever you're following.
Right.
Look to Jesus Christ.
It does concern me, Ed, when I see a lot of my Christian friends that I adore. It's almost like they're comfortable now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here we are in 2025. They're happy with the election results. I'm
mm-hmm.
just going to lay it out there. And, you know, most Christians have a particular way they vote.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like many Christian people are starting to put their trust in the leadership of the world
right.
and not Jesus Christ.
Well, you have to understand that goes along with some of their false doctrines in these Christian churches.
That's true.
That the Christian church is supposed to prepare a people for Christ to come rule over. That's not how it works.
That's not how it works. Christ has to prepare us.
Yes.
And we have to allow ourselves to be prepared.
Right. And they talk about dwelling on this earth for 1,000 years.
That's true.
And that's not true.
That's what they teach.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, you know, this is when every week we end the program with a reference to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, which we
yes.
read last week, that when Christ comes, his feet never touch the ground.
Right.
So this
and it's those that remain that are taken up into the air with him.
That are caught up. That's what it says. They're caught up in the clouds. And that's the thing. We use that word taken, but it says we're caught up to meet him in the air. So when we think about this, that tells us that the 1,000 years will not be spent here.
No, it's spent in heaven.
It's spent in the heavens for all of the righteous. The unrighteous are slain at that time of Jesus' second coming.
They're dead. They have no conscious awareness.
Correct.
The Bible says, the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything.
And Satan will be on this earth with his demons for that 1,000 years with no one to tempt. And then there's a great resurrection that happens after that, a resurrection of all of those unrighteous people.
And the New Jerusalem comes down from heaven onto the earth.
Let's look at
That's in Revelation 21. 20?
I think it's 20. 20. Yeah. Let's just take a look at that. I think we have about 6 minutes.
Yeah,
so
okay.
Let's just look at this really quick. I've got it here, Revelation chapter 20. And it says in verse 1, then I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years.
He bound them on this earth.
That's what it says. So for people that think that the earth is going to be this beautiful place for that 1,000 years, not with the devil here.
And he cast them into the abyss.
Correct. That's very important, Ed. Because that word abyss in the Greek Septuagint is abusos in Greek. And in Genesis, when it talks about the creation account, when the earth was without form and void, it was an abyss. It was an abusos.
So the earth's going to be destroyed by Christ's coming.
Yeah.
If you look at, I think it's Revelation 6 that we read, every mountain's going to move moved out of his place. Every island's going to be fled away.
Right.
The total destruction.
And so the earth will be here, but no life as we know it will be on it. And so it says in verse 3, and he cast him into the bottomless pit, or that abusos, and shut him up and set a seal on him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. So
Satan's going to be by himself with his fallen angels, no one to tempt, because everyone else is going to be dead.
That's what this is telling us. So the seal set on him is there's no one here to tempt.
Right.
And then
he can't leave the earth.
Right. No. And he was cast to this earth, we've discussed this before, in the first century.
Right.
And this is why the persecution of the saints began. Satan was enraged. He came down with great anger, the Bible tells us.
You know, part of the problem I have, Mark, is we've discussed these things in so many different settings.
Yeah.
I don't remember what we discussed here.
Yeah, I know. And what you mean by that is we have a Wednesday night Bible study, we have Sabbath school, and sometimes they overlap a little bit.
And we have our individual ministries.
We do. We have individual ministries. We do. You have Bible studies with folks. I do, too. And it's hard to keep up. But, you know, it's all good. All of this is good stuff. So let's just take a few more minutes here, and we can come back to this next week if we need to. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those, this is verse 4, who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on his forehead, on their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years.
We need to come back to this verse next week.
Okay.
Because this has everything to do with being ready for the second coming of Christ.
It surely does, doesn't it? Yeah. In fact, make a note of that, Revelation 20, verse 4. And it says, but the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. Now, there's a sentence after that that's a parenthetical thought, and some Bibles put it in parentheses. It says, this is the first resurrection.
The first resurrection is talking about the righteous who are raised from death, those that were dead, into eternal life when Christ first came.
Right.
And the rest of the dead didn't live again until the 1,000 years were finished.
Exactly. Yeah. That's right. And then it says in verse 6, blessed and holy who was... Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. That's when Jesus comes back. That's when we're caught up in the clouds, right? Over such, the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years.
So this second death is eternal death.
It is eternal death.
Everyone that dies right now is going to be resurrected either in the first resurrection or the second one.
And let me just, I know this is going back a little bit, but Jesus spoke about this in John chapter 5, and that way people can kind of put these pieces together. John chapter 5 and verse 28, it says here, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice." It says all. That doesn't mean just one group or just another. But then it tells us, I'm going to read it again. "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life," that's the first resurrection, "and those who have done evil to the resurrection of damnation." That's the second resurrection. So, friends, if we die in this world before Jesus comes, we want to be in the first resurrection because that's the resurrection of life.
Verse 7 of Revelation 20 says, "And then when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be loosed out of his prison, and he will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle. The number of them is as the sands of the sea." So these unrighteous will be raised alive, and Satan will go out and deceive them.
Yes.
Gog and Magog is what they're called.
Yeah.
That's another
We'll come back
deception
to
in the Christian doctrine.
It is. It absolutely is. In fact, so next week, it's going to be exciting. We'll come back here to Revelation. In fact, you know, next week I'm going to be out of town. Okay. So we will be back
the following week.
In 2 weeks. Yeah. But there will still be a program here. So Ray Powers will make sure something is running. And once in a while, maybe I can record something. We'll see what happens. But we're out of time, Ed. We have to end today.
All right.
And friends, we're really glad you tuned in. Let's have a closing word of prayer. Father in heaven, what a blessing it is to just see these promises that you have given us in your word. And Father, we just ask that you will prepare our hearts for the second coming of your Son, and just help us, Father, to be willing to accept your word just the way it reads. And please, Father, we're just begging that you'll send the Spirit of your Son into our hearts, that we can cry, Abba, Father, that we can have salvation, and that hearts will be softened to see the truth of your word. We ask for you to be with us until we come together again. And Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Ed, thanks for the study. I look forward to being back here in 2 weeks. And we're here, it'll be Sunday evening, 7 p.m. on New Visions Radio. And until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.